So this is actually a pasuk in Divrei Yomim that Klai Yisrael is told that they need to know Elokei Avicha. Okay, so be aware of. So literally means you have to know a Kodesh Baruch. You have to have a knowledge of a Kodesh Baruch. It's not enough to be from, etc. You know, you have to have a knowledge of a Kodesh Baruch. So what does Daz Elokei Avicha mean that you should have a knowledge of a Kodesh Baruch? So there's a fascinating piece from Reb Simcha Zisel, the Alter from Kelem, and the Alter writes that if you want to sum up all of Kabbalah into one phrase, it's the phrase of Daz Elokei Avicha. This pasuk in the Divrei Yomim, but there's a concept of knowing a Kodesh Baruch. He says, and there's two ways of doing it. It's either through the process of philosophy. A person creates a real knowledge of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's okay, a person through philosophy or through Kabbalah. He says, and the only true way is through Kabbalah, because that's what gets you to the real emes. So what does he mean? He means like this. So what is Kabbalah about? This is not a Kabbalah shir. What is Kabbalah about? Kabbalah is about how is it possible that you can take a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is an infinite being, and translate that into a finite world, and translate into interactions with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, how Kodesh Baruch Hu is impacting and affecting this world. Right? That's Kabbalah's one question. And everything with Kabbalah is to explain how Kodesh Baruch Hu is able to interact with the world. When a person learns that, you know, a person, you know, it's scientific. You know, it's not whooshy whooshy.
Philosophical way of doing it. Answer the question philosophical way would be.
I'm sorry, what?
Like scientific would be answering that question the philosophical way, as opposed to the Kabbalah way.
What's that? So he says. So what's the point of Daas Elokei Avicha? Is when I understand how I understand the process of how Kodesh Baruch Hu interacts with me. And it's clear to me, as opposed to being something which is, it becomes that much more real. As opposed to when a person, you know, yeah, I know Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world. That phrase doesn't. I might believe it, but when I have a clarity of exactly how it works, I understand how Kodesh Baruch Hu, if I have the true clarity of that, then there's nothing in the world which isn't. I can see clearly how it's a manifestation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I almost know how it works. I see the manifestation. I think I told you a story once. This is like off topic a little bit, but it's a wild story. That I had a chaver in yeshiva with Harusas. That he was a Sephardi. His name is Rabbi Rakach. He's actually a Sephardi chacham now in Chicago. He has a kehila there. Kehila. And he's Ben Acher Ben, going back 24 generations back to the Maaser Rakeach. Maaser Rakeach was a pirush on the Rambam by one of the Tunisian Gedolim. It's a very choshev a sefer. He says, up to his father, there was 22 generations of Chachamim, these people, of Rakachs, were Chachamim in Tunisia, Tunis. And his father became a physicist. Instead of a chacham, he became a physicist. Now his father was a Talmud Chacham. I remember his father, Zichron Livracha. His father was not some physicist, though. His father worked for the U.S. government on some of their top secret defense projects. And there was three people who worked on these projects, he and two colleagues. And the U.S. government would never let all three fly in the same plane. Because if the plane goes down, they lose all three, they can't afford it. That's how vital he was to the United States government defense. This fully bearded, yarmulke wearing the whole day, black backs, dark suit, you know, white shirt, sweaty looking fellow who was a physicist, was like, the man was brilliant in physics. So his son tells him the following story. That they went to Eretz Yisrael for his brother's bar mitzvah. And they went to visit the old Rav of the Kursa, who was no longer alive, who was a Sephardi, Chacham. And this Rav actually learned by Dr. Rakach's father. He was the Talmud of Dr. Rakach's father. And so the conversation was taking place in French, because that was the language that was spoken in Tunisia. And this Sephardi, old-looking Sephardi Chacham, looking at, asked Dr. Rachach a question in physics. Like, about a certain particle which they found inside, you know. Like, I don't know, when I grew up, there was three particles in the atom. There was an electron, a proton, and a neutron. Nowadays, last I checked, there was 43 different particles in an atom. Right? There was besides electron, there's quarks and there's neutrinos. There are anti-quarks, there are anti-neutrinos. There's a whole slew of things that didn't exist once upon a time. Now they exist. Okay? Right? So this Chacham asked Dr. Rachach, this physicist, about this particle. So his son, Rabbi Rachach, says to me, I never saw my father hesitate at a question of physics in his entire life. And he stops for a second and he thinks and he answers the question. This happened twice in the conversation. At the end of the conversation, the Chacham says to Dr. Rachach, he says, you should know that we discussed this particle today in my Kisvei Arizal shir. He gives a shir in Kisvei Arizal, and we discussed this particle today in shir. Good. That's what the Chacham says to Dr. Rachach. As they walk out, Dr. Rachach turns to his son, Acharusa, says, I want you to know, Daniel, that this particle is the frontier of physics. And that was today's share of Kisvei Arizal. Tomorrow's share of Kisvei Arizal is beyond the frontier of physics. That's what he told them. What's the pshat in the story? If we understand that every single thing which exists in the Bria is some way, Kadosh Baruch Hu put it in the Bria because some way it manifests some expression of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it's here. Somewhere in the Kabbalah is going to explain why it's here and how it works. Because if it's true, it has to be explained somewhere. That's the goal of Kabbalah. So, if this is true, it has. This is Dr. Rachach told his son. I want to tell you something. He says, we've had situations in the physics lab where I knew the answer based that he's trained the Kabbalah. He's a Sephardi Chacham himself. I knew the answer based on the Kabbalah. So when we would start the experiment, I said, I want to tell you, this is what the answer is going to be. How do you know? I just know. Because you can't tell him. You know based on Jewish mystical knowledge. Think he lost his mind. Right? So he says, I know, I have intuition, it's happened a few times in the lab already, to the point that they always say, like, how do you know? I can't tell him, you can't explain. I mean, I remember Dr. Rock used to come, he would learn Zohar in the Parsha, like that was like, he'd walk in Friday night and he's sitting there reading through the Zohar in the Parsha. Like, it wasn't, it was an interesting fellow. One day I said, one day I'm going to look out. Out the window, I'll see him hovering in the air next to my window. We were upstairs, downstairs neighbors. I was warned. I said, "Be careful! You look out, you'll see Dr. Rachach hanging in the air with his son next to him. Don't worry, it's okay." But that's what it is. So if a person has that level, it means there's nothing isn't the Kodesh Baruch Hu with such a clarity. It's not. I believe it. I have an idea, brewer, to understand what it means. The impact that it has, what it means in Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's mind-boggling on the person. So I don't know what the Rosh means Kabbalah, but the point means that the Musa Daz Alakayavicha means it's not just a theory, it's not just a munah, it's the idea. A person builds it on a person he has to the point of a hakora, brura, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's our responsibility. Then the Rosh goes weiter. With the Recha B'mazdi Tzedek Tishko, we're not Islam, if you want to look inside. With the Recha B'mazdi Tzedek Tishko, if you live without awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's every word that you say, you're going to weigh it in the scales of tzedek. I once made there's a sefer called Cheshbon HaNefesh, which is a fascinating sefer. Rasil Salant, have you ever heard of Rasil Salant? There's 13 different sayings. The 13 sayings of Rabbi Israel Salanter, right? Where does that come from? What is this 13 sayings about? It's based on a sefer called Cheshbon HaNefesh. Cheshbon HaNefesh was a system which Rasil Salant was a very big advocate of. It was written before Rasil Salant. Person created this whole system of how a person could keep track of what he's doing. One of the ideas was to create for yourself 13 different areas that you want to work on personally. And of those, each week, and make for them each one a one-liner sentence which captures your thoughts about that issue. And then, over a period of 13 weeks, each week you will work on one of them. And you will keep that thought, that phrase in front of your constantly through your mind. And at the end of the day, each day, you'll take a grid, and you put down, make a cheshbon, how many times you were successful or unsuccessful in that area. After 13 weeks, you would start over again, and over a year, you'd go through each one four times. Basically, 52 weeks in a year, you go through each one four times. That was his idea, the Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh. He says, Lotter took that personally, wrote these 13 things for himself, based on the Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh. So I was working on the Midah of Emes, and I was, you know, doing this. I think I'm a pretty honest guy, you know. But you know, there's honesty and there's honesty. You know, there's honesty, but then emotionally you're honest. But the guy tells you a word and he asks you hear it before. You know, so you don't say yes because you didn't really hear it before. But you don't say no. You know, because it's more like, you know, that's not honest. So I started. I came at the end of the day and I took my little box over there and I started making cheshbon my nefesh. It was around the first day of that. And I started putting all these, I think it was good were checks and bad ones were dots. And there was too many dots in that box. There were dots I never thought about. I didn't realize how many things, if you want to be totally focused on, you're really being amnes. There's a lot of things we do today which are not amnes. Or at least I would do them today which are not amnes. That's just, you know. And it hit me that if a person was dalal kevicha, the Berech HaMoseh Tzedek Tishah Mamash, you weigh everything before you do it. Right? You're standing in front of the Melech, you know, you're standing Mamash right in his presence. It's hard not to be careful with what you do. So this is the Gemara. The Gemara says that the person's hain, his yes, should be tzedek, should be righteous, which means if I tell you I'm going to do something, I should do it. The opposite, the more says, Lav Shachot said, if I tell you I'm not going to do something, I promise you I won't tell. Right? I don't know about you, but the amount of times I've told people things, I ask them, please don't tell anybody. And eventually it gets back to them that somebody else heard about it. And it just happened to be that somebody else heard about it. But the guy promised he wouldn't tell, right? Lav Shachot Tzedek, Hin Shachot Tzedek. I promise you I'll do something. I'll take care of it. You know. So there's people which you know, if they tell you, I'll take care of it, you know it'll be taken care of. There's people that you know, if you tell people that someone tells you, I'll take care of it, you know it won't be taken care of. You know, or you know that you can't rely on it being taken care of. So you should be Hin Shachot Tzedek Yiluch. The last point over here. See, this is a fascinating way to think about it. Right? It should be easier to you to spend money than to open your mouth. Right? Most people, you know, the average us, right? Money's valuable to us. Maybe not a penny, but you know, you hit a point. Right? You don't spend it without thinking before. You might make a decision, you'll spend it, but you'll think about it. Right? But opening your mouth and talking, that goes very freely because it doesn't cost anything. So in the worldview of the Rosh, you know, words are very powerful. Words are responsible. Money is money. Like, what's the grace of money? So you have money, so you use money for whatever. You know, good, you don't waste money. But, you know, so you have to be responsible with your money also. But words, you know, a person should open his mouth, right, without thinking. That's totally illogical. So you don't spend money without thinking. I mean, a lot of people do know without thinking. I guess they have a head to talk about thinking also. But most of us, it's similar to the idea. Rudessa writes in one place, he says, if you want to see how chashiv ruchnius is to you, so they'll give you a test. It's a very simple test. You're walking along, you have a $100 bill in your pocket, and you're careless, you know, whatever. You're not focused, and you lose the money. $1,000 in your pocket. So what's your emotional reaction? You beat yourself up. Stupid! Why do I do it? I'm so upset. That's $1,000. You know, on and on and on. Like, you know, someone's like, you know, just leave go. I can't. I'm so stupid. Right? Okay. So I mean, that's an emotional. There's a level of an emotional reaction to that. Okay. Second scenario. I was careful. I was careless, and I forgot to say Shema one night. I forgot to make it to Maariv. What's your emotion? Okay, I miss Maariv. Oh, I miss Maariv. Okay. That's the level. So now you know that how. Gashmias is important to you. How much ruchnius is important to you? You have a very easy measure. When you lose some gashmias, you're very, very upset and you can't move on and it bothers you for days. And you lose some ruchnius, no, It lasts for 3 seconds, and that's it. So that's your measure. He says, you want to know like where you fit into the reality of what's important. So the rush in the Russia's world, spending money was a lot easier than helping your mouth. Right? In the world of a person who ruchnius is important, right? Losing money should be much less traumatic than missing a marv. Forgetting to daven marv one time. I had this weekend hit me, you know, there's a sheet of Ben Yarno where you learn brachas that if after chatzos you can't say Shema. So I daven marv early one night because I was, you know, I had to take care of something. I didn't repeat Shema right away, and I chapped about, I was ready to go to bed, it was ready after chatzos. You know, the hen said Shema, I hadn't repeated Shema yet. So according to Ben Yarno, I'm not, it's a Shema. I lost Shema for that night. And I said Shema too early, so I said Shema because, like, money sheet, you still yards. And I went to bed. But I went to bed afterwards. I mean, how do you go to bed afterwards? You might have lost Shema. Like, how can you sleep afterwards? The guy lost $1,000,000. He couldn't sleep afterwards, right? The guy just, you know, dropped the check, right? Somebody stole from him $10,000. He couldn't sleep afterwards. I went to sleep afterwards. I mean, I was a little tired, you know. But it's a measure. So, it's all here.